Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. It is a wet and rainy day out there today, but that's okay. We're still here ready to hear your questions and being able to go to God's Word for the answers. So go ahead and call right now. This is a live calling radio broadcast where you set the tone. Call your questions in to 308-9564, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak. 308-9564. We focus our attentions on the Word of God because all the answers to life and godliness is contained within that book that God has provided for us. That's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We do not need to go to man for the answer. We do not need to go to our mom. We do not need to go to our dad. When we're talking about the answer to things that are spiritual in nature, we go to God Almighty. And as we read and as we study these things and we see these things to be true, we must so prepare our hearts to be willing to obey the things that he says. It's so easy to begin to listen to men or to women or anyone and to begin to take in what they say concerning spiritual matters. But we cannot afford to do that because our souls are at stake. And so we must listen to what God says. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so what we want to do is allow our faith to be in God by listening to his word. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now. 308-9564 is the number to call. 308-9564. Let me also toss this passage out there. This may be helpful. I love so much what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. The only way that we can be a bondservant, a servant of Christ, is that as long as we're not seeking to please man, but rather we're trying to please God. And the way we do that is we come to understand what his word says, and as we understand it, we put those things into practice. And the only way to know what he says is to go to his word. Now you have that opportunity. Go ahead and call right now your questions, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Now, if you'd rather, you can also communicate with us through the cell phone, and that number for the cell phone is 725-9283, 725-9283, and thus you can communicate your question that way as well. The text number again is 725-9283, and you can text in your question on today's broadcast. Either way, we're stand ready to go to the Bible for your questions. And we will let God be the one that answers the question from his word. After all is said and done, don't we want to know what God says? Don't we want to hear what God has to say on the matter? Because he will have the final say as we stand before him in judgment day. So it's so important that you do not listen to either one of us or any man or woman as far as that's concerned. We should be listening to God and finding out what he has to say. Now, if you have a relative or friend, you can also let them be able to tune in, even if they are out of state or even out of the country. If you would like to desire for them to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers, then you can encourage them to get on the internet and go to our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. Bible Alone. Two words, but just all the letters connected, BibleAlone.com. And they can hit the live stream button and join us live right now during this radio broadcast. They have an hour and a half to join us, and so make certain that they get the word so that they also can join us as we go to the Bible for the answers. Be sure to let them know if they're out of state or out of this area code that the area code that we are using that is here is area code 843. 843. So let them know that if you desire to communicate with them for them to join us, it is area code 843. And if it's out of the country, of course, it is 01 is the country code. And so make certain that they know that as well. And they can be able to join us as we go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the number is 308-9564 for the voice line, or the text line is 725-9283. Now, one more point about the voice line. If you call in a question, you can either go live over the air, of which we ask two things. If you desire to go live over the radio airways, we would like to have your name. Plus, we want you to stand ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo. And so that's what we desire. If you desire to go live over the air, we want you to stand ready to turn your radio down. And we would like to know your name so that we can be able to be polite and address you by name. So that the voice line is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. 308-9564 is the voice line, or the text line. If you'd rather text us, you can text at 725-9283.
Again, we are happy to answer any questions you might have, so go ahead and call in your questions right now, 308-9564. Last week, we began talking about the subject matter of truth seekers. One of the things that we try to do is to set up as many Bible studies with those who are interested as we can. But what we're looking for, what God is looking for, are those who are truly seeking. And so we began with a theme to look at the characteristics of true seekers. And we noticed two individuals in the Bible. And of course, there's much more, but two that we'll talk about even today as time permits. One was a eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch, and that comes out in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. And then the other was a man by the name of Cornelius, who that's found in Acts chapter 10 and also Acts chapter 11. And what we'll begin to see as we look at these individuals are characteristics that would show or identify a person who is truly seeking after God. And what does that person look like? And then you can evaluate yourself to determine whether or not you are that kind of person. Oftentimes we'll say to ourselves, well, you know I need to do better. I know I need to study more. I know I need to do something to change my life. I know I need to make my life right with God. And then we do nothing. Well, that's not the characteristic of a person who is a seeker. And so what we want to take and notice, as time will allow it, we want to take and consider people like this eunuch, people like Cornelius, to see what characteristics they possess and why we might consider them true seekers of God, true seekers of the Word, true seekers who are individuals trying to make themselves right in the sight of God. Now, you can call your questions and feel free to interrupt as we talk through this. But if there's no questions, then we're going to continue to bring out these characteristics. Go ahead and call your questions right now, 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
We have a text question coming in first today, and the last three letters are 313. The numbers are 313. We are glad to be able to get your text question. We thank you for writing in. Their question is, is the Antichrist on the world stage fulfilling prophecy now? Well, I would assume that you're referring to some of the modern premillennial theories and all of the things associated with that. But let me just answer based upon what the Bible does say. The word Antichrist in 1 John and 2 John, it's used 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 times in the Bible, is referring to the actual meaning of that word, literally means against Christ. And so John uses that word to refer to those who are against Christ, those whom you've heard is coming. Even now, many antichrists have come. When you get to 2 John, you can see that there are many deceivers gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Well, when you look and see what he's dealing with individuals that were actually Christ believers, the Gnostics, say that Jesus came, but he didn't come in the flesh. They say that God could not be tempted by sin, so therefore he must not have been in the flesh. It must have been a spiritual thing that he did. And thus that's called against Christ, because he's not coming in the flesh. And so even though they're talking about Christ, they're just denying that he came in the flesh, even though the Bible brings out, and John himself brings out in John 1 and verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So John, in the first book that he wrote, talks about Christ coming in the flesh. And here in the first and second letter later on to be written, he talks about those that were teaching different things about the coming of Christ. And he refers to them there as anti-Christ or against Christ. Now, my friends, there are many antichrists out there. That is, anyone that is against Christ is an antichrist. Those that would be opposed to God's word going forth. For example, even those that would be opposed to God's word being appreciated like it was appreciated 200 years ago, to where that they make it against the law or prohibit God's word or anything to have to do with Christ being spoken of or dealt with. In a sense, those people are against Christ or anti-Christ. And so that's all that word means. Now, our charismatic friends are people that come up with all kind of theories based upon a thousand-year reign and using sensationalism to try and promote a special being such as the devil. And that the devil certainly is against Christ or antichrist, but there's a lot of other people that are also opposed to Christ. And so it's not a special, sensational, spectacular individual that has horns or a tail or anything like that. No, it could be our next door neighbor. Matter of fact, my friend, it could be a preacher. Those that are against Christ, those that are not teaching what Christ taught, are against Christ. So it's not a spectacular thing to ooh and awe and get all excited about, except for one thing. Sin is something to be opposed to. We should be anti-sin. We should be pro-God. The only way we can do that is to listen to God exclusively. We need to let the Bible speak. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very, very much. And thank you for calling in and giving us your question today. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And also, if you have a text question, you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line. Tanya calls in this question, and she wants to know, what does the word say about the perfect will of God? Tanya, really good question. Anytime somebody wants to know what the word says about something, that is always the right question to ask, because that when all is said and done, we want to know what God has to say in his word. And so I'm turning to the book of James and how that the word of God is called the good and perfect will of God. It refers to in verse 17, James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I'm going to expand more on that in just a minute. But, Nick, do you have something as well?
Romans chapter 12, I think, brings out this idea of the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, and verse 2.
Thank you.
Paul says, I'll start in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so here, at least, it talks about a transformation that has to happen. And that word transform is very close or akin to our English word where we use metamorphosis. Is what a caterpillar goes through to becoming a butterfly. So it's that kind of change. And so that's the kind of change that God wants to occur in our lives in order for us to fulfill the perfect will of God. And the way that change happens is by you and I coming to understand His Word and taking those words off of the page and hiding them in our heart, or being obedient to it and allowing God to change us, to make us, to mold us, to shape us into the image of His Son, so that we are no longer doing what we want to do. It's not my will be done, but it is thy will be done. It is time for us to take a first break, and we'll continue to answer this question even after break. But we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions right now, 308-9564. That is indeed the number to call, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283. We'll be right back. Let us encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course that is available to you, of course, free of charge. We do not desire your money. What the Lord wants from you is your soul to be right with Him. And what we want to do is participate in that by providing these tools that may aid you. And so the correspondence course is just that. It's just an aid or help in your study of God's Word. You'll probably find some things that you have not heard before. And again, you'll find it intriguing because it will begin to get your mind asking questions. You know, why do I do X or why do I do Y? And then what does God's Word say about it? And so we encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course by calling the operator standing by, letting her know that you would like to sign up for it, and we'd send that to you in the mail. Go ahead and call right now, 553-5157, 553-5157, and we will send that course to you in the mail. But now, to call in your question here at the station, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is our live line, 308-9564. And if you prefer to send a text question, then you can do that as well. Again, that text number is 725-9283. Call right now, and we'll do our best to let the Bible speak.
We had a question concerning the good and perfect will of God a minute ago, and they kind of helped me there. I went to the wrong passage in James chapter 1. I got the word perfect there, and that somehow didn't get the word of God. So that was Romans chapter 12. Verse 2, 3, and I would encourage you to read the whole chapter so that you might be able to see what it is that God wants us to be conformed to. And so that is what we should do, letting God change us completely. We have a caller calling in by the name of Robert. Robert in Somerville. He wants to know who had the 5,000 camels and what happened to him. He thought that maybe the book of Job or Job was. And that is correct. In Job chapter 1, except it's not 5,000, it is 7,000. His possessions were 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. And so he was very wealthy. And then, of course, all that was taken away from him. And then at the end of the book, all of those blessings, including the camels, were doubled. So it went from 3,000 camels to 6,000 camels, chapter 42 and verse 12. And so those were the ones. And that's in Job 1, verses 3, verse 17, and also Job chapter 42 and verse 12. Good question, Robert. Sometimes trivia is helpful, especially when we are wanting to know the exact numbers. And so thank you for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line, 308-WJNI. Or if you have a cell phone and you would like to text us, you can text us your question at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak either way, and we are glad to be able to be of service. We want to encourage you to share with others as well this message and these things. From the Internet, you can go to our website at www.BibleAlone.com, where you can tune in other programs that we've had in the last few years, and you can listen to those and study them and pause them, look up the scriptures at the rate in which you can. And I know we go over a lot of verses sometimes, and thus we would encourage you to be able to take advantage of that, to where that you can go to the Bible for the answer on all those questions. Our website is www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and we will be glad to share with you all of our resources there, including the correspondence course. Some of the most frequent questions are answered there with articles, and so you can download those as well from your website. But right now, go ahead and call in your question. 308-9564 is the number. 308-9564. The lines are available, and we are glad to be able to be of your of service. I believe we have a live caller.
Rashad.
Rashad that would like to go live over the radio, and you have a question there, Rashad. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
How can we help you?
I want to know how old you have to be to accept Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right. Well, Rashad, that's a very good question. I tell you, are you talking about yourself?
I'm talking about other kids, too.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you just a couple of questions as if we are face-to-face, and it may be very helpful to you. Rashad, I would like to know if you consider yourself right now, if you were to die, would you end up going to hell? In other words, would you consider yourself right now a child of Satan?
No, sir.
No, okay. So if you were to die right now, would you end up going to hell, do you think?
No, sir.
Okay, well, then that kind of answers the question. See, in order for someone to be saved, they must be lost first. In order for their sins to be washed away, they have to have sinned against God. And so someone needs to comprehend God, and once they comprehend God and then they sin, then that's when we've sinned against God and we need to seek after the salvation that only He can give. Now, I can't give you an age to that or a number to that because it would be different for different people and their experiences.
And, Rashad, it's, you know, right along with that, this idea of understanding is the key element. You know, God requires that a person repent of their sins. And so a person has to be at least old enough and able to understand what true repentance is. It also requires that a person it makes a confession of faith, and the person needs to understand what that confession is and what kind of relationship they're entering into. God wants someone to understand what they're doing. And so until a person can understand their loss, until a person can understand that they need to repent, then that, when I say a person, but a young child, you know, children develop at different rates. And so when a child develops to the point where they understand, then they're held accountable by God.
Does that make sense, Rashawn?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And so it's not a number or a certain age, because sometimes people, there could even be a situation where someone maybe never develops the mental ability to think beyond a two-year-old. And so it would be impossible for them to ever sin against God because of that, because sin is a decision where we decide to transgress or go beyond what God says in His Word. And so that is a decision that is a rebellion against God. And until they can do that, they cannot rebel against God. We sure do appreciate your question. You sound like a very delightful person. We thank you for calling and hope you will continue to listen week after week. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you for being so respectful and asking your question. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. That is the voice line. And you can call in and either go live on the air, just like Rashad did, or you can have your question written down and brought into us. Either way, we will go to the Bible for the answer. And by the way, Rashad, one other verse to help you with that, not only Romans 10, but also Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Jesus says that we shall repent, or you shall all likewise perish. Or Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And that repentance, or that turning away from sin, is necessary in order to become that child of God as well. So in order to turn away from sin, we would have to have sinned against God. And so those are two other verses to hold as well. Again, those verses, we've got to really believe. John 3, verse 16, also Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Then we've got to repent or turn away from sin. That's Luke 13, verse 3, Acts 2, verse 38 is another one, repent, that brings out. And then also confess that he is our Lord, that we're going to serve him and our belief in him. That's Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And last but not least, Rashad, what we have to do in order to have our sins sent back to the cross, we've got to die with Christ in baptism. On the Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, also Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, all bring this out. We've got to die with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins. Go ahead and read Romans 6, verses 3 through 7. And those are verses to help us to become a child of God. Thanks, Rashad, very, very much. The numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a text question coming in, so we'll answer this text before we go to break. The last three digits is 746. 746 says, is 666 mentioned in the Bible? It is found almost exclusively, and I said, well, really, it is exclusively in the book of Revelation. It's in the 13th chapter, and verse 18 is one of the places. It says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. It says, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. That was Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. It is time for us to take another break. While we're at break, we want to encourage you to continue calling in your questions. And again, we will do our best to just let the Bible speak. Again, that number is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. We're going to tell you about correspondence material or a course that you can take in your home. We'll send it to you in the mail. You fill it out, send it back to us. We'll grade it, and we'll see you in the next one in the series. This course is designed to help you in your study of God's Word. We must all come to know God. And the way we do that is by coming to know His Word. And His Word is Spirit-filled. So if we want to know God, the Spirit knows God, and the Spirit has allowed it to be written down so that when we read, we can understand it. Let me encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course. While we're at break, you can call in your questions. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we are glad to be able to go to the Bible for the questions on your mind. Don't miss out on this opportunity. The line is now available. Both lines are available. 308-9564 is the voice line. You can either go live or have the question written down and brought into us. It is your choice. 308-9564 is the voice line. Now, if you have a cell phone and you'd rather text us, you can do that as well at 725-9283. The choice of how to communicate with us is yours. The choice of questions and topic, well, that's yours too. But the answer is going to come from God, His Word, as we let the Bible speak. Chuck, do you have a question here?
Yeah, we have Robert calling in this question. He calls in the question and says, where and who talked about faith as a mustard seed? Well, Robert, that's a good question, and one that many others probably have as well. To direct your attention to Luke chapter 17, this the word talking about a mustard seed is found in several different places. However, the one we want to look at today is going to be in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 5. Verse 5 says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And verse 6 says, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, in other places, I believe Matthew 17:20 talks about moving mountains. But a popular teaching is just about the mustard seed. Maybe it's missed sometimes, but what the true teaching here, as we see, first of all, to answer your question, is where Matthew 17:20 mentions it once, and here in Luke 17:6, and who, it's Jesus who mentioned it. Now, the teaching, as far as what he's teaching here, is about increasing your faith. See, a lot of times the popular teaching is that you have faith as a mustard seed, meaning your faith should be small. Small faith can do great things. That's really kind of a popular teaching. But really, to see here what Jesus is really getting at was increasing their faith. It's, our faith is starting out small as a mustard seed, But as a mustard seed does, it starts out small, but it doesn't stay small. It grows and it becomes great. That was the teaching. That's the main point that we're supposed to be looking at here with the teaching of the mustard seed. That your faith starts out small and is supposed to grow and become very, very large, and then be able to do great things by faith of God. And we see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, that talks about and shows us how we can add things to our faith, and it tells us what we need to add to our faith. So once again, Robert, thank you for your question, and that scriptures we use were Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, and as well as 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. To join us at the station today, you can call 308-9564, that's 308-9564, to reach the voice line at the station here. Or you have the option, you can text us your question in. You can text in line number is 725-9283, 725-9283.
We are glad to be able to have your question, and we hope and pray that this has been beneficial to you as we go to the Bible for the answer. Thank you so much for your question. When we give out the Bible correspondence course, there was someone here at the studio just a little bit ago said during our break that you know, you really need to let the people know that it is absolutely free, because there are so many gimmicks that go on out there. And that he himself did not even believe us when he originally enrolled in the correspondence course. And so I asked him, I said, well, would you get behind the microphone and tell the people that? Because people sometimes are skeptical, because there's so much deception and so many bait and switch schemes that are going on, even in the name of religion, that you need to know in person from someone that's been there and actually experienced and gone all the way through it. And so, Laron, you said that was a real concern of yours when you heard us initially on the radio. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Ricky. I tell you, when you are studying the Word of God and you're trying to learn more about God, and you listen to the various mediums out there, the television, the radios, and people are always up to something. They always seem to have a gimmick behind what they're offering. And this particular time I was listening to this show, which I'm happy to be a part of now, but I originally was a listener like many of you out there, and to hear someone over the radio announce that they have something absolutely free caught my attention. And I'm going to tell you, even up until the point I ordered the course, I was still leery about it being free and what was the catch. And sooner or later, they're going to hit me with it. But lo and behold, it was a course that benefited me greatly, and I was very happy that I signed up for that course. We have a live caller now, so we're going to switch back to the regular show, and I thank you all for listening to me.
Okay. Well, thank you, Laron. It's a lot of times people just don't really believe that what we're offering is free. We pay the postage, we send it to you in the mail, you fill it out, send it back to us, and it's back and forth. And that's exactly what Laron did, and that's what hundreds and hundreds of y'all have done and continue to do week after week. And so the course is overwhelmingly information. You get information from God's Word. You're able to see what God says, and many of the things that are covered in the course that are many times never, ever discussed in a lot of churches. However, these are things that are revealed in God's Word that can and may keep us out of heaven if we are ignorant of those things. So make certain that you avail yourself of that correspondence course. It is free. The number 553-5157. Operator standing by right now. It'll be in tomorrow's mail for you. And so make certain that you take advantage of it. Again, for the free course, it is 553-5157. We have a live caller standing by right now by the name of Robert. And Robert, we understand you have a question you'd like to ask.
Yes.
Yes, how can we help?
Good evening, everyone. And just wanted to thank you and Nick for being on the radio. You all been a blessing to me. And real quick, my question was, when are y'all going to return to me to the public again?
Return to what?
When are you going to, will you ever do you know, like you would visit each area in the city.
Oh, yes. Well,
will y'all ever do that again?
In what area are you referring to?
I'm in Somerville.
In Somerville?
Yeah, I know y'all did it in several areas, but yeah. I was just curious if y'all would ever do that again.
Yeah, we're still doing them, but we just kind of do one. We follow up with as many of them in person as possible, and then we will work toward doing another one. And so the next one that we're thinking about doing, well, there's three possibilities. There could be in the Hollywood area. It could be down in St. Stephens. It could be one even in the Goose Creek, of all things, where we actually meet is a place where we haven't done one yet. And so we're thinking that may be a location as well. But they are coming up, and it's just a matter of getting everything together and doing it. And so we will take your suggestion to heart and build a fire.
I was just wondering, you know, I just wanted to know. I listen to y'all every Sunday as often as I can.
Oh, that is wonderful.
But it's not. Every time I have questions, you know, you all can answer them. I don't know how y'all can quickly do that so quick, but I'm sure that
Well, obviously, a little while ago, I didn't do it very quick, and so that's they bailed me out in that question I answered a little while ago. So it is sometimes difficult, but we are glad to serve, and we sure appreciate your kind thoughts there.
All right, thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Robert. Again, we'll try to build a fire under some more of those meetings, and we'll see what we can do. Thanks. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. There are no lines available right now, but if you will just hold on a few moments, we will be able to finish talking to the one right now, and then we'll be able to get to your question. In the meantime, if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Nick, do you have a question?
Yes, I don't have a question, but when we began the show, we talked about this idea of the characteristics of a true seeker. And so we're in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, and want to at least bring out one of those characteristics. And we may have talked about this last week because we began this discussion last week. One of those characteristics of a true seeker, if we're looking at this Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, we'll see that here's a man that was already trying to understand the word of God. If you look at verse 27 and verse 28, the Bible says, so he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So here's this individual. He's a eunuch, as the Bible describes him. And he was over the treasury. In verse 28, he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And so I want to suggest to you one characteristic of a seeker is here's a person that's going to already be searching out the Word of God, already trying to read it and understand it for themselves, oftentimes find themselves confused by the wording, perhaps, or trying to understand how it's put together. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And so many times a seeker will find themselves reading or studying God's word and not having understanding, but they are seeking understanding. And so that's one characteristic. I believe we have a caller who wants to go live.
Yes.
Ben, are you there?
Ben. We have Ben on the line.
Go ahead, Ben.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I heard y'all discussing the word repentant a little earlier. The word repent.
Repent, yes.
Yeah. Okay. To my knowledge, the word repent means like change of mind. You want to go back and do the same thing like over again. When you repent in your mind, it's like your mind is being renewed, and you're not going to go back and do that same sinful act that you have committed.
That's correct.
Because you went to God and said, God, help me. God, help me not to do that again. That's the word what repent means.
It's a change of heart followed by a change of action. There has to be an about face.
Right.
And that change of heart should be coming from a godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, For godly sorrow works repentance, not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world worketh death. And so it's got to be sparked or motivated by a godly vertical toward heaven, God-motivated sorrow. That will lead one to a repentance without regret.
Right. That's like, say that I'm trying to quit smoking, and I'm just giving you an example. Say that I'm smoking, I want to quit, and I go to God. I say, God, help me to quit smoking. What I'm doing, I'm changing my mind. I'm changing what I do into what is right, right?
Well, you haven't repented until you actually stop, though. There's a lot of people that have, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, and they end up just driving themselves crazy because of that. They never are willing to do it. They just don't want to, and God wants our want-tos to change.
So that go along with Galatians 5:1. When he said, Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of Christ, where Christ has set us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage.
Yeah, well, in the context there, it's talking about the law of Moses, but the principle is the same. The idea that if I've come out of something, then I should not turn back into it.
Right.
The idea of repentance is, like you said, having a change of mind, change of heart. But just because I get on my knees and ask God to help me with it, now that may not be repentance. That may be me on my knees asking God to help me.
Right.
Repentance is when I make up my mind that I'm no longer going to do that thing again.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that I won't slip into sin. So it's not the idea that I'm saying that it's not going to happen again. I'm saying, though, I'm not going to do it because I believe it's wrong, and so I'm turning away from it. That's what repentance is, to turn away from it.
Right.
Okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ben. We sure do appreciate you. You're a longtime listener, and sure would love to meet you one day, and hope everything continues to go well for you.
Same here.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. 308-WJNI, and we can let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. We have a text caller calling in this question. They say, how do you know God talks to you? Well, I'm sure to appreciate the last three digits of their cell phone is 749. We appreciate your question very much, and it's a very good question. As we read the Word of God, it is the Word of God, and so therefore it is God speaking to us. And let me read one verse to help with that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. That's not the verse I was looking for. Here I go again. Let me get back onto that. Let's go to our break. We're going to go to break, and I'll come back to this verse in just a minute again. It's time for us to take another break. Please know, while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the number is 308-9564. We'll be right back. All right, we are back live again now, and I apologize earlier. I was looking in the right place, but the wrong verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God. Now, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So there is the answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. I apologize for missing that before. And so thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate your question from this cell phone, 749. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And I would also encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. And so we learn these things from God's word. That's the way God speaks to us. Now, one more verse to read that we've already gone over several times. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Anything new, any kind of new message that is not recorded in God's word is not from God. If it's new, it's not true. So make certain that you always go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the number is 308-9564. The lines are now available. And you can also text us at 725-9283.
We have a live caller. Sam, are you there?
Good afternoon.
Hey, Sam, how are you doing?
Fine. I was having some time on my hand. I was reading the Jewish Bible, B-Midbar, in Numbers 19:11. And this seemed to apply since the beginning of time with man from Vietnam to Afghanistan, everyday life in everybody's home, about touching the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7
mm-hmm.
days?
Yes.
Does that still apply today?
Well,
is this what covered under the blood?
It was a law. They were to do this. They were to cleanse themselves. And it was interesting that they did not know why they had to consider themselves unclean for 7 days. Until they finally invented the telescope and discovered germs. And now we know that there are many germs that are transferred from a decaying body or carcass, whether it be human or otherwise. And that was the reason for that. Now, we do have ways to purify ourselves now without the 7 days. But still, that was part of the law of Moses. And many of the things that were regulations associated there, we know why now. Although they did not know why then. And so certainly if we touch something dead, we should wash ourselves and cleanse ourselves and purify ourselves, lest we do end up getting some of those diseases. But that law was nailed to the cross.
Oh, I see.
Colossians 2:14.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sam. We sure do appreciate it.
Yes,
again,
sir.
The number is 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or 725-9283. We have visiting with us again, Malcolm. He's going to be able to be with us answering this next question. Malcolm?
Yes, we have Rita calling in from Ridgeville. And she had a question about a passage that mentions if there's anyone sick among you, to call for the elders and to be anointed. And she comments that people in the church don't do this anymore. And she asked for an explanation on this text. The text comes right out of James chapter 5. James chapter 5, starting in verse 14, it says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." So, in the context, there's nothing in the context that tells us the purpose of the anointing with oil. It is my understanding that in the first century, that oil was used medicinally as a medication. But there's nothing in the text that says that. All it says is that for them to call for the elders of the church and to anoint him with oil and to pray over him. The thing that I would key you in on is what it says in verse 15. It says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." So it's not necessarily the oil that the text places the emphasis on. The text places the emphasis on the prayer of faith. The prayer of the faithful is what will heal that person, is what will raise them up. So the real idea here is that the prayer of the faith is what will heal the person that is sick. So in the context, we see that the oil isn't necessarily the important part. The important part is that it's the faithful that are praying over this person. Rita, we thank you so much for your call. I hope this helps answer your question. If you're listening and you have a question, you can call us live at 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Or you can text your question to 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
Robert calls in, and Robert, we do appreciate you calling in and with your questions. You say you have two questions here. If someone pays tithes but write it off on taxes, are they really paying tithes? And so that's a good question. I'm going to answer kind of two parts. First part is that paying tithes or tithing really was something that was done under the law of Moses. We see it first being done in Genesis by Abraham as pays tithes to Melchizedek, but that's not Abraham is not doing it as part of the law of Moses. And then we see it given to the children of Israel as part of the law of Moses. When we get to the New Testament time period, the church, and that's the time period that you and I are in. We are governed by the New Testament law of Christ, and thus we're in what we call the church dispensation. So we go to God's word and we see what the church was commanded to do, and they're not commanded to tithe concerning giving, but they are commanded to give. And so I'm going to take what you're saying here, the idea of giving, because that's what we're commanded to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 and 8 in that area. You'll see where it talks about the collection that was made on the first day of the week. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where it uses the phrase first day of the week. And so what you have is this command concerning giving. We are to give. Concerning the idea that a person chooses to put this on their taxes, we have to be cautious on those things that are open to a person's conscience. Some people's conscience will not allow them to do that, and they see it as some kind of how taking away from their what they gave. Some people's conscience will allow them to put it there because, one, they're trying to let the government know where they spent this segment of money. And as a result of that, the government is saying, well, we don't want to charge you if you're spending money in this area. And so, again, the Bible just doesn't speak on it one way or the other. And so it comes down to a matter of the conscience. So I have to let a person work that out for themselves. Each person must work out their own salvation. Concerning your second question, you said, is it wrong to mix man's law with God's law? Well, God's law reigns supreme, and so we can't ever mix anything with God's law. But if I understand you to say, if man's law say one thing and God's law say something different, can we just mix the two? Or, well, the reality is if God says something, we have to do what God says, period. But one of God's law is for us to adhere to man's law. Look at Romans, the 13th chapter and verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So it is God's intent that we absolutely would adhere to the laws of the land. And the only time that we have the ability to reject the law of the land is if that law comes in conflict with the law of God. We do what God says first. Let God be true and every man a liar. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. Robert, we sure appreciate your question. I hope that's been helpful to you. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. It is time for us to take yet another break. And so even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now. We do want you to know that correspondence course is free. Sometimes people doubt that because of the various ways they have been treated in the past. It is truly our honor to be able to share with you the riches in His Word. And you will discover things in God's Word that are necessary before checking out of this life. You must be prepared. We do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. James chapter 4 says, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for just a short time and then vanishes away. So if you can imagine a pan of boiling water and the steam coming up out of that, as soon as it comes up out of that pan, it's gone. And that's our life. We better get ready to prepare for the next life, to meet God face to face. Our lives are short. So don't delay. Go ahead and enroll in that course and learn the things you need to learn. See what you need to see. Let God Himself instruct you in His Word to make certain that you're prepared to check out of this life. So don't miss out. There's an operator standing by right now, 553-5157, and it is free. Salvation was always intended to be free. The price has already been paid by the blood of the Lamb. So why not listen to him on how to touch the blood, how to come in contact with the salvation that only God can give. So don't miss out on this. You can't beat the price, and the eternal blessings will be so worth it. The number, 553-5157. The lines are now available if you want to go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text at 725-9283.
We have a text question coming in. Last three digits is 218. It says, if you have done a wrong against someone, you prayed and repented and corrected the wrong, do you still go to that person individually and ask for forgiveness? We sure appreciate you texting this question. What I'm going to offer you is a principle that you might apply out of Matthew, the fifth chapter. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. The principle here, it does speak to the idea of reconciliation that God expects, that even before I can go, and in this particular context, before the altar of God to bring forth my gift, and in this particular case it says if your brother has something against you, that I have to go and fix that. I have to go and reconcile. The idea of reconciliation or cleaning up my mess really speaks to the element of repentance. If I've done something against someone or they've done something against me, the idea of repentance means they've turned away from it. If I make a mess, ladies and gentlemen, I need to clean up my mess. And I should absolutely expect them to forgive me. I'm going to read a passage on forgiveness, but I think, Ricky, you had something to add?
Yeah, we have an example of Zacchaeus showing that kind of heart when Jesus went into his house. In Luke chapter 19, he taught him, was teaching in his house, and Zacchaeus' response was, he says in verse 8, he says, look, Lord, if I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. That shows his penitence, even though it was just a matter, God didn't ask him for that. It was a matter of hearing God, seeing God through Christ, and his heart was, he wanted to restore that. And one other example in Acts chapter 16, where the jailer washed the stripes of Paul and Silas before he himself and his family were baptized in the middle of the night, showing his repentance, showing his wanting to make certain that if he was party to any kind of wrong, he wanted to make it right.
And so our actions, the actions of reconciliation, going and fixing the mess that we make, is that fruit that we bring as a result of our repentance. And so we have to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And that's why we go and we make things right. And we should expect that those who are godly, they will absolutely accept our request for forgiveness, that they should forgive us. And here's why. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, as Jesus teaches his apostles or his disciples how to pray, he says in verse 12, you pray this way, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so we're asking God to forgive us as we forgive others. In verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so you should absolutely expect people to forgive you. Hope that's been helpful. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We see another couple of great examples, and when you look and see the devotion that the man from Ethiopia showed, going over 1,500 miles to worship God, his humble approach in asking questions, how diligent he was to learn God's word, how inviting and hospitable he was and eager to learn. You don't see a man that's trying to just go and do the bare necessities. No, he was willing to go no matter what it took to please God. That's what he wanted to do. Cornelius also showed that heart in Acts chapter 10. And so that's the kind of heart that God is looking for. That's the kind of spirit that God wants us all to have. And so we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift us up, according to James and according to Peter. And so please, if you're that kind of person, why not call the operator standing by and say, I want to have a Bible study in my home. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to see what God has to say. Be the Cornelius of today that is not only willing to be able to seek God yourself, but also gather your friends and relatives in your home to hear all things that are commanded of God. And thus we will be glad to come and let the Bible speak there in your home. So why don't you call and make those arrangements, and we'll see what we can do about making those arrangements to where that you and your family and your friends can take advantage over hearing thus what God says in his word instead of listening to what man has come up with. Why not call and arrange those things, arrange such a meeting and a Bible study as that there in your home in the near future. Call 553-5157, 553-5157. We have a text caller. And by the way, if you have a question, the lines are now available. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We have the text caller with the last three digits of 609 asking this question. It says, what does it mean when somebody catches the Holy Ghost? Is that scriptural? Where in the Bible is it written? Well, that's a really, really good question. And, you know, and for years I heard that terminology a great deal. But once I started studying what the Bible says, what God says in the Bible, one thing I noticed very quickly, there is no such thing in the Bible, catching the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times people say, oh, yes, there is in Acts chapter 2. Well, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit did come upon the apostles there, and they spoke with other tongues. But also in that process, what you see was there was a sound that came from heaven. There was something that appeared that they could see that looked like flames of fire, tongues of fire, and it set upon each of them. And it was evidence also by them speaking in these different languages. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You'll see that. Read all about it. And you'll see, as you read that, just ask yourself, is that what we see going on today? And if you're honest, you have to say, you know, I've never seen fire come down and set on people. And I've never heard a sound that was loud enough that a whole city heard. They came together to see what this noise was. And when you look and you see what happened then, caller, that is just not going on today. And so what we need to do is, if we're going to let God be the one that tells us what should be going on, we need to go to the Bible for those answers. And thus, the idea of catching the Spirit, that if I was the Spirit and he is alive and well and listening and also hopefully speaking to us today through his word, but if I heard somebody say that about me, I think I would be a little bit insulted, because he is God. He's not a baseball that you would catch. And so we need to make certain that we are going to let him, through his word, influence us to be what we ought to be and to be conformed even to the image of his son. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. You may have a question about this. Go ahead and call. The lines are now available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
And I just wanted to bring out that, you know, Christians do get the Holy Spirit today. You know, the Bible do bring that out. And so it's just not what some would make it out to be. In Acts chapter 2, and verse 37, when Peter preached the gospel and these folks heard it, the Bible says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them in verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the removal of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so what we see is that Christians would have the Holy Spirit today. But now, what is meant by that is not what most people mean when they say or they use the term catch the Holy Spirit. So very good question. And again, I can tell that folks are really kind of thinking about their questions, things that they've heard, and they're seeking answer. And we're going to do our best always just to go to God's word and let it speak. So to join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak. If you prefer to text in your question, you can. That text number is 725-9283, 725-9283. We'll go ahead and make mention of, again, an opportunity that will be afforded you or your family. If you have a group of folks that would get together, be it your family or friends, and you're looking to conduct a Bible study in your home, let the Bible speak, if you will, in your home, call the operator standing by, let her know that you would be interested in such a thing, and then we would come as our schedules will permit, and try to sit with this group that you pull together and answer those questions and talk to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no message greater or of greater importance than that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's so important that you make sure you've heard that message, because that is the message that God has using to save, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but it is the power of God and the salvation to those who believe. And so God's power is in that gospel. You need to hear, if you have not heard, you need to hear that gospel. If that's something that you're interested in, go ahead and call the operator standing by and let her know, and we will set up a time to try to come and meet with you and discuss those things. Again, that number is 553-5157.
We just noticed that we lost one of the callers that were coming in. We apologize, but we can only talk to one at a time. And so if you call and the number just keeps on ringing, please be patient with us. Let it keep on ringing if you're calling here for your question, and we will eventually get to you. And so the caller that gave up, just go ahead and call back. The lines are now available. 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Please be mindful. What we're about to tell you is free. We are glad to send you this course absolutely free. Here's the details on that. Even while we're at break, go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564.
Again, you have this opportunity to take advantage of the correspondence course by signing up for it. The caller, our operator is standing by, so you can go ahead and call right now, and she will take down your information. And we'll get that course out to you in the mail. And we cannot express how happy we are. We cannot express that enough, how happy we are to be able to serve you in this capacity. And know that, you are allowing us to serve as you take advantage of the treasures that God has revealed in his inspired word. So we hope that you would do so. It is absolutely free. We are absolutely sincere in this offering. Our intent is only to help you in your study of God's Word, and so we encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course. Go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number again is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. To call your question here at the station, this is our last segment, so go ahead and get your question in. 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have Lutalo calling in this question. They want to know, why were the books that Martin Luther took out of the Bible not used? And the second question that fits into this as well is, why is the Catholic Bible different? Well, first of all, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in your question. Those were really good questions, and we appreciate that very much. And it was the first time I'd ever heard that Martin Luther took it upon himself to call or to take out books of the Bible. So I quickly did some research on that, and you're right. There were some that he took out of his Catholic Bible are books that the Catholic Bible has in it that are not considered in the other books of the Bible. There's the Maccabee books, Judith, Tobit, and some others. It seems as if he also took out Esther and Daniel, which are commonly in our Bible. But to answer your question, those first books, not Esther and Daniel, but the others, were books that were taken that are in the Catholic Bible, and the Catholics have chose to put it in their Bible. The reason for that is because they think that it is important. However, when you look and see what's actually in those books, you'll find out that they are ancient books. They are history books. They are books that were written back then before the New Testament was written. But they never claim to be the Word of God. They never quote, "Thus says the Lord," and they do not augment the other books in the Bible or intertwine or interlace with the other books that are in the common books of the Bible, the 66 books that we have in the Bible. And so those books are the apocryphal books are not considered Scripture because they don't claim to be. Now, a few minutes ago, we read a couple of verses, Ephesians chapter 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote, afore in few words. There, Paul, writer of the book of Ephesians, claims that, what he's writing is Scripture. Paul verifies what Peter wrote is Scripture, and Peter verifies what Paul wrote is Scripture. And so we can see those books are intertwined, but you do not see such a connection with those apocryphal books. Now, that said, there are other books that are out there that people want to attach to and say they are Scripture as well. But may I, for the sake of being repeating myself, again say they do not claim to be the Word of God. And so those other ancient writings or books that claim to be a gospel, the word gospel simply means good news. Again, just because we might to write a book and call it it's the gospel of Ricky, that does not make it Scripture. It may be some good news, but it doesn't make it Scripture. And so those are not Scripture as well when just because they might have the word gospel that somebody has attached to them. The gospel, the Scriptures, those claimed by the Bible to be inspired, and those that were readily recognized as inspired writings, those are what's in our book, the Bible. And so Martin Luther didn't have the right. The Catholics don't have the right. Neither does a council of canonization have the right. The books themselves verify that they are Scripture. So what I would do if I were you and everyone that wonders about this is read the book. Read it. Read it for yourself. You'll see the big difference. You'll see how it claims to be inspired of God. Now, one more caveat to this is this, and that is there are books out there that claim to be Scripture. Well, I would encourage you to read them as well, but understand just because they claim to be inspired of God, they do not have evidence that they are, and it's strong evidence to show they are not. And so that is another question. Matter of fact, if you'd like to go to our website, you can download some evidences to show that the Bible is evidence that it is the Word of God. And you're free to download that, free of charge. We'll never charge for anything. So go to our website at www.biblealone.com and look at the scientific evidences that the Bible must be inspired of God.
Ricky, I'd just like to add, before you start reading these other books, it would be helpful if you would look at the Bible first and know what it says so that you have something to compare it to.
Good point.
You can't know what's fake unless you know what real is. Just like those who look at counterfeit money, they don't just start by going, "Oh, let's look at a bunch of fake money." They start out by analyzing real money so that when a fake comes along, they can spot the difference. So just a word of caution that if you don't have a good foundation on what the Bible actually says, then reading other things can become confusing, and it can become a daunting task that can cause you some problems. So I would recommend making sure you know what the Bible says first.
I just looked at our website. I thought I had put that on there already, but I haven't. So I will try to upload the scientific evidence of the Bible's inspiration onto our website this week sometime. So go ahead and check it out, and you'll be able to download and see all of the evidences within the Bible that prove that it must be the Word of God.
We began the program by talking briefly about these characteristics that exist of a true seeker. When a person is a seeker, they bear certain characteristics. This man that's a eunuch in Acts chapter 8, 1, we saw that he was reading the Scriptures. 2, when he was asked in verse 30, do he understand what he read? He says in verse 31, he says, how can I unless someone guides me? So here's a humble man, and he recognized that he needed to be guided. When confronted with the truth, the Bible says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch says, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And thus, here's a man that when he was confronted with the truth, he believed. He wanted to know what did he need to do. When he was told what he needed to do, he did it. And then he was baptized. Here's a man, when confronted with truth, obeyed it. A true seeker, one, they're seeking. They're asking questions. They're saying, help me, guide me. But they're reading for themselves along the way. They're not just taking somebody's word for it. And thus, when they're confronted, when they come face to face with truth, they do it. You'll see, and you'll take a note, and so some homework for you is go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 10, and you read about Cornelius, Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11, and you can do for yourself this week, you can just jot down what were some of the characteristics that showed up in his life. And then ask yourself the question, am I a Cornelius? Do I have such a passion to try to find the truth and live by the truth? And when I'm confronted with the truth, much like Cornelius and his household, do I obey it? So join us right now. Well, I guess you really can't join us. How many minutes we have left? We only have just about 3 minutes left, so it's just about the time for us to end this program. But we want to encourage you throughout the course of the week where you can call in and sign up for the correspondence course. Again, that's 553-5157. You can still do it right now and speak to the operator standing by. But if throughout the course of the week you think that you want to sign up for the correspondence course, you can do that on Monday through Saturday. You can just call that number. You can do it Sunday after our radio program. And you'll get a recording. But then at the end, you can sign up for the correspondence course, and we'll get that out to you in the mail.
It's a very important that you take advantage of that and get the course so that you can learn what God has to say and prepare to meet him face to face. So please do not miss out on the opportunity to listen to what God says and to study it through the correspondence course. Again, check out every verse. Make certain it is okay and that it is right. And if there are mistakes, we will correct those. And we are more than happy to be able to share it with you. It is free. We will never ask for a handout. We will never ask for a contribution or any kind of financial concerns at all. Let us give you the treasure that only God can give through his word. And so that is our desire, for you to be blessed eternally by learning the truth that will set you free and the truth that will give you eternity in heaven. We're all going somewhere for eternity. Why not let it be with God? The number 3089564 is our number, but we're just out of time. We do want you to know you can continue to call the operator standing by, and it will be turned into Dial a Bible Study throughout the rest of the week. That number, 553-5157, there's an operator standing by right now. Go ahead and call to enroll in the course, and we'll get that to you absolutely free. Remember our website as well at BibleAlone.com. You can download previous broadcasts and Bible materials, as we mentioned earlier. We're more than happy to give that to you as well. We know that you desire true happiness and joy and fulfillment. And God alone is the one that can give this. It won't come through seeking after physical things or money or even position. It will only come by yielding to the Creator himself. Obeying him, loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, learning to be content with the things that we have, and then finding the answers you need. These answers won't come from church doctrines, experiences, family, or pastors. These answers can only come from the Word of God, the truth that God gives. My friend, what we must do is let the Bible speak.